At Easter time, we all say as Christians that Jesus has come as the Saviour of the world. He's come to deal with suffering and death. But a big question I think that we are faced to deal with is, if Jesus has come to save the world, if Jesus is the answer to all of the world's problems, if Jesus has come to save us from our suffering and the effects of sin in death, then why is it, when we look at the world around us, why is it there are still so many problems? Why is it that there's still so much suffering and pain? For example, just in the week gone by, we've heard about chemical gas attacks that have happened in Syria. We've heard of continuing terrorist attacks in Europe. We've heard of, in Australia here, houses and lives that have been lost in floods. If Jesus is the answer to the world's problems, which we Christians believe he is, then how are we to explain the place of things like that that happen and pain and suffering in the world? Are these part of God's plan and how do they fit in? Now, one of the amazing things about God, when we look at it from the bigger picture, is he has actually entered into our world. And in doing so, as he entered into our world in the person of Jesus, he has entered into the pain and the suffering of this world as well. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, that it was fitting that God, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's an interesting quote, isn't it, from Hebrews there. Jesus, who's God in the flesh, obviously he's the perfect one. But God still saw it fit to perfect his Son through the sufferings that he endured on our behalf. And the suffering that he went through for us is something that we can see quite clearly when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was going to be betrayed by Judas. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane lies on the slope of the Mount of Olives, a few hundred metres just across the Kidron Valley from the temple area in Jerusalem. It's not far from where Jesus would have spent some of his time in Jerusalem, and in fact it's quite a beautiful spot. So on this occasion, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked them to wait while he went off to pray. And as he went off to pray, he took Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, with him. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus at that moment in time began to feel greatly distressed. He was in anguish. He was in great pain. Echoing the words of the psalmist in Psalm 43, verse 5, Jesus told those three disciples that he felt so distressed that it was like unto death. Basically, Jesus felt so sad that he almost couldn't take it anymore. He felt so bad that he felt like dying. We can see here quite clearly that emotionally, Jesus was terribly distressed. He was deeply, deeply sad. And all he wanted from his friends was for them to stay with him and to be with him through it all, to be there to give him some support. So Jesus moved forward a little, and we're told that he fell upon his face in prayer before God. Now Jesus, I think, at that moment in time, must have prayed lots of things to God. But the summary of what he prayed is encapsulated for us in verse 39, where it tells us that Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you do." Now really, when we think about what Jesus is saying here, this is an amazing prayer coming from his lips. Here we can see how fully Jesus entered into the pain of human existence. Here we can see something of the suffering that God willingly faced for us. We need to keep in mind here that Jesus knew God's plan. He knew what was about to happen to him. But the thought of what was about to happen, the thought of the suffering that he was about to go through, the punishment that was about to be laid upon him, it was so great, so terrible, that Jesus wanted, if possible, to be able to avoid it. Now, what was going to happen to him? Well, according to Isaiah 53, we get a good description of what was going to happen to the Messiah. He would be despised, rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with weakness. He bore weakness and carried sorrows, stricken, beaten by God, afflicted, crushed, pierced, chastised, and wounded. The iniquity of the world would be laid upon him, and he would be put to death, cut off from the land of the living, and buried in a grave with the wicked, despite his total innocence. He would be crushed by God and made weak. Friends, Jesus' suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane and what was about to take place as he moved forward to the cross was so terrible that here we see Jesus asking God to remove that cup of suffering from him. Jesus, in and of himself, didn't want to drink that cup. He didn't personally want to endure the pain and the suffering that was about to happen. Noting the connection between the word excruciating and the word crucifixion, we can literally say that what Jesus was going through at that time for us was excruciating. Yet in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his distress, in the midst of the agony, Jesus prayed, "Yet not as I will, but as you do." In the midst of the suffering, Jesus knew all too well, as it tells us in Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it was the will of Yahweh to crush him." And following verses like that, Jesus understood that this cup would be something that he would have to drink. And friends, as we look at Jesus here, I wonder, could we pray a prayer similar to that? If one day it were God's will for us to go through difficult times, would we be willing to pray, following the model of Jesus, "Father, I don't want this. I don't want this pain. I want release. Please deliver me from it. Yet not what I want, but what you want." After praying in this way, Jesus returned to his disciples. But instead of them staying awake and watching, Jesus found them sleeping. They're sleeping on the job, really, aren't they? So Jesus asked Peter, who we could say was typically the most eager of Jesus' disciples, he literally asked him, "Were you not strong enough to watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." Now, I think sometimes we're a little bit like that, aren't we? We say, "Okay, no worries, God. I'll do it. I'm here for you. I'll do this. I'll do that for you. I'll live for you. I'll serve your people. I'll build your kingdom." It's easy to think it or to say it, but in reality, how often are we like Peter and James and John? Instead of keeping watch with Jesus in prayer, we're actually sleeping on the job. I tend to think if we have difficulties praying, then it probably suggests that we're not really paying much attention spiritually, really. Because in reality, as Jesus knew at that moment in time, there are lots of temptations around us in the world. There are lots of things that we can fall into if we're not spiritually awake and on the lookout in prayer before God. And particularly when the tough times come, just like Jesus, we need to approach our Heavenly Father in prayer, in submission to our Father's will. We need to realise that in and of ourselves, just like Peter experienced on that occasion, we're just flesh. We're weak. There are times when we get tired. But friends, if the Spirit of God is in us, He is our source of strength, who can help us get through the tough times, enabling us to move towards full obedience to God's will for us. So after telling off Peter, Jesus went and prayed for a second time. "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, may your will be done." And friends, once again here we can see very clearly that Jesus didn't want to go through what he was about to go through. He didn't want to suffer. But more important than his own will was the will of God. And so he could say, "Father, may your will be done." Once again, I think there's a great reminder for us here that life is often full of thorns and thistles rather than flowers. So being able to submit ourselves to the Father's will for us is important. And in reality, if we were to think about it, we really don't have much choice. Now, some of you here may have seen the movie Bruce Almighty before. Anyone seen that movie? Yeah, a few people. Now, in that movie, the title is named after the main character, a guy called Bruce Nolan, played by Jim Carrey. He's a TV reporter stuck in a meaningless job who has bad luck. He misses out on promotions, gets jealous, ends up getting fired. He always complains to God about his life until he gets the chance to actually be God himself for a period of 7 days. Now, that experience of being God doesn't really work out. And there's a scene in the movie when Bruce falls down on his knees and he prays a prayer echoing Jesus' words in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "Lord, I surrender to your will." Angelic music is heard in the background and the light appears there. But slowly it dawns on Bruce that the light was actually coming, not from the angels in heaven, but from the headlights of a truck that promptly runs him over. He made the mistake of praying in the middle of a highway. So he ends up in hospital, and the near-death experience turns out to be the catalyst for a new perspective on what he wants in life. Now, the movie is a comedy and it's a little soft on the theology at times, but Bruce's experience mirrors what God often does in our lives. Often the times of greatest spiritual growth are the dark days, when we're forced to get on our knees in submission to the Father's will. You know, we often wish that our lives could be better. We think, if only I had this, or if only I got that. But in the end, we'll be fighting against the will of God himself unless we can come to the point where we can, like Jesus, actually be willing to submit to the Father's will. Jesus, he came back to Peter and James and John, and again, he found them sleeping rather than watching. So Jesus went and prayed for the third time, praying the same kind of prayer. Three times effectively, we get Jesus praying for the Lord's will to be done, while his mates, Peter and James and John, they're there sleeping rather than watching in prayer together with their master. And we're told that all of this happened just before Jesus, the Son of Man, was delivered over into the hands of sinners when Judas came to betray him. This is the incident of the Garden of Gethsemane. What can this help us in relation to the suffering and the problem of suffering and pain? Here we actually see Jesus encountering his darkest days. The answer that we get through this is, I think, very important for us to think about. Because for all the pain, strangely, what we see happening here in the Garden of Gethsemane and in what's about to happen to Jesus is that God can use suffering in his plan of redemption. The reality is that God brings salvation through suffering. What did the prophet Isaiah say about Jesus? He said he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Pierced, crushed, chastised, wounded. Yet through all of that, God brings forgiveness, peace, and healing. And friends, I think that for us, sometimes it may be that we feel like our days can be dark. Sometimes it might feel as if we're going through our own experience of the Garden of Gethsemane. But staying awake spiritually, being keen to come before the Lord in prayer, being willing to submit to the Father's will, just like Jesus, that's what we've got to do. I think sometimes in life, we walk around not too happy. No. Why did this happen, God? If only it were this way, if only it were that way. But in some ways, in doing all of that, we're really fighting against the Father's will. What God actually wants us to do is to submit. To submit to him in everything that happens. And actually to see that in the times when we're weak, when we're forced to depend upon him, when we're forced, just like Jesus, to pour out our heart to God in prayer and say, Lord, please deliver me. But in the end, your will be done. That's the prayer of submission. It's the prayer that we need to be willing to pray. But how often do we pray it?